You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
I will be conversating with
Pastor Joseph Farrar. Good afternoon to you. Good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well, thank you. We have been good. Thank you for joining us. Welcome to the Adventist World Radio. Are you well this morning?
I am well, and I've been looking forward to this interaction. You know, we have it's been a busy week.
Yes, it's definitely been a busy week, but I'm excited that we are having you on the line at this moment. We're going to be talking to you about, the kindness in the midst of challenges. And of course, navigating challenges in the midst of challenges is a profound aspect of a Christian living. You know, the Bible provides us guidance on how, believers can maintain a spirit of kindness, even in difficult circumstances. Now, these questions delve into the intersection of kindness and adversity, exploring how biblical principles can guide believers in maintaining a spirit of kindness, even when faced with personal challenges and a difficult situation. So this is the context in which we are going to be discussing this. So, Pastor, how does the Bible encourage believers to respond with kindness when facing, personal challenges or diversity?
Okay. From our build-up, we have been emphasizing that, like we indicated, that there is a day, specifically 13th November, which is regarded as the World Kindness Day. Now that we're in December, we also say this is a month of giving and receiving gifts. You show kindness here and there. Mm-hmm. But then we are saying the issue of kindness cannot be limited to a day.
Yeah.
And it can never be limited to a season. It's a lifestyle.
Mm.
And more importantly, we indicated that when you're talking about issues of kindness, it is actually the fruit of the Spirit. And if kindness is the fruit of the Spirit, it is never situational. You don't show kindness because it is convenient for you.
Mm.
You show kindness because it becomes a fabric that is woven in your DNA.
Yeah.
Because when the Spirit of God resides in you, you are able to deal with situations as they come. You take it as your responsibility. The Spirit is guiding. So whether you are having issues, you are not exempted from performing selfless acts to those that may need them. I remember, I don't know whether you have watched this movie. I don't know whether the example is applicable. I don't know whether you have watched this movie, The Three Idiots.
No.
it's a comedy thing. So there's this student who went to the professor to ask for extension that, no, I didn't finish my assignment because my father was sick or there was a funeral. I don't remember the exact scenario. So the professor asked the student to say, when you had that problem, did you stop eating?
Mm-hmm.
The student said no. Mm-hmm. The professor asked, did you stop bathing? The student said no. So why did you stop? Why did you stop working on my assignment? Why did you stop working on the project?
Yeah.
So having personal issues, personal challenges should not be an excuse for me to exempt myself from performing the task that I am supposed to perform.
Profound. Quite profound. So having challenges basically is not a full stop. No, you continue regardless of what challenges that one may face. I think that's quite powerful. Now, in what ways can kindness be a source of strength and resilience, during difficult times, both for the individual and in some instance, communities?
Okay, so like we have said in our prior discussions, kindness, this is a selfless act. And God will allow you to be in that position to offer that relief to somebody. And if somebody can come up to you, it means they are looking at you to begin with in high esteem. They are looking at you to be somebody who is able to provide solutions to the problems. And that responsibility, we must take it with all the seriousness that it deserves. Because if you are standing on that position of helping others, you are also building yourself to say, I am not supposed to do this because the expectation, or, you know, this is what people could be thinking that I am supposed to do, and things like that. Mm. You know, it is like a situation mostly in the pastoral duty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember I lost my grandfather.
Mm.
You know, I lost my grandfather. It was quite a difficult period for me. And then some member called me to say, Pastor, our child has some demons. Our child has some demons. We want to come that you may pray for our child. And then I said, oh, unfortunately, because the funeral was in a different location from where I was actually staying.
Mm-hmm.
So I excused myself to say, I can direct you to some elders who can help you in that situation. I am currently not available because I am attending to personal family issues, and that is a funeral.
Mm.
And then the person sympathized and said, okay, Pastor, we understand. We may not necessarily need the elders, but is it okay if we can put you on loudspeaker that you can just please go ahead and pray?
Yeah.
You know, initially I was like, what? This person, I have said I am broken.
Yes.
You know, I am mourning. And then I realized that my office, they are not calling me per se. They are calling for the pastor's office.
The office.
And when I signed up for this, I signed up for everything.
Mm.
Yes, my grandfather is gone, is dead, waiting to be buried. But here is a soul that has been oppressed by the powers of the devil. And this soul needs relief. This soul needs my prayer. Mm. So if it is the faith of the family that are saying, even over the phone, well, I am available.
Yeah.
So I started praying, I started counseling, and by God's grace, the child was relieved.
Mm.
Now, this is an example. You are having a crisis. You are having, you know, you are in that situation. This is an example.
Mm-hmm.
Some examples could be manifold. Yeah, you know, issues can come. Maybe you had a misunderstanding with your wife. You differed.
Mm-hmm.
Just as maybe you have even not yet resolved the matter, there's a knock. And a couple comes and say, ah, we have this serious misunderstanding.
Mm.
And we need to be guided in this area. And in the heart of your heart, you are saying, ish, these people, if only they knew that even me, I'm struggling here. But you see, the good part is that even in our struggles, we are never alone.
Mm.
And it is expected that God just gives us wisdom. God gives us, and this wisdom is not only given to pastors.
Yeah.
Remember, this is the fruit of the Spirit, that you will learn to endure certain things that you could not have endured ordinarily if you were operating on your arm of strength, because the arm of flesh will definitely fail you, but the arm of God will always lift you up and help you in all these circumstances. So we have a responsibility that we show kindness. Remember, yesterday we were saying kindness, it's a very valuable and powerful tool for evangelism.
Yeah,
people will not follow the long exegetical sermons. Maybe they will even sleep and doze in the process of our presentation.
Mm-hmm.
But by the way I have lived, by the way I have, just a simple, I am driving to town and somebody just stops my vehicle and asks for a lift. And I don't ask for money in return to say, hey, how much are you giving me?
Mm-hmm.
But just that simple act of kindness, we will leave the person I came in contact with to say, wow, who is this man whom I don't even know, who is able to assist me in a time of my need like this situation?
Mm, mm. Yeah, I think that it's not an easy thing at all. I must tell you this bit. I mean, as you're sharing these examples that you're sharing, I'm really seeing some difficulties. Now, I want us to move from the examples that you've given, and let's look to the scripture as well, where individuals may have demonstrated kindness in the midst of their own trials or hardships. Do we have perhaps any examples from scripture?
Exactly, we do have, actually. Yesterday, I think we even intimated the story of Ruth. The husband had died. She was having a personal crisis.
Yeah, yeah.
If she wanted, she would have remained in Moab, get married to richer men, get married to younger men, but she decided to forego that so that she could see to it that the mother-in-law was well taken care of. And this is a kind of kindness where you go an extra mile from your comfort zone, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
She is willing. She even says, your God will be my God.
My God.
Your people will be my people. Your foods will be my foods. She is willing to go cross-culture. She will begin to worship differently from what she's used to. So she's going an extra mile so that she can be of help. And also Matthew 5:39 becomes a classic example. From the lips of Jesus himself, he says, when somebody slaps you on your right cheek, go ahead and give them on the left cheek. Though this sounds really, really tricky.
Yeah.
this sounds really tricky. But this, for me, my understanding, it's not the literal understanding that when somebody slaps you on your right, you should also give them on the left. I think it is a matter of enduring. It is a matter of, the emphasis is that do not resist the evil person. Remember, the enemy that we have in the Christian warfare is the devil. And the devil influences people we get at loggerheads with.
Yeah.
So when you go to hate the brother, you are missing the point, because that brother is just a tool that the devil has used to frustrate you. Your real enemy is not the brother. The real enemy is the one in the brother. So that is my understanding. And so this is where now admonitions are given to say, when your enemy is hungry, feed him. When your enemy is thirsty, give him water to drink. Now, on a practical basis, this is where we totally agree that this aspect can only be in that position when we have the Spirit of God born in us. Because under normal circumstances, we are happier when our enemies' things go south. We are more comfortable when we see our enemies' things are going wrong. But we forget that the owner of human beings loves everybody equally. I want to imagine when we go to heaven, Isaiah, who was sworn in two by Manasseh, the king of Judah, when they will stand toe to toe and meet each other in heaven, probably Isaiah would think for a moment that he's in hell. How come a murderer is in heaven? God is interested in everybody. God is no respecter of human beings. And so this is where we are supposed to live above reproach, to say even those people. You see, the Bible acknowledges the fact that it is possible, even if you are a man of God, you will have enemies.
Yeah, true.
That is why that provision is there. It is saying when your enemy hungers, feed him.
Give him food.
Don't retaliate evil for evil, an eye for an eye. It makes the whole community go blind. We have a responsibility that we are supposed to show kindness in the midst of personal challenges. We have a role We have a mandate to evangelize to the dying world. They are looking for hope. And we are supposed to be equal to the task, and we should be available, that even if I may not have money, I am broke, but I still know to say it's not a permanent situation. The little that is available, little is always much, when as God long is. As God is in it. Mm. No matter how much you have, if God is not in that much, you will look back and say, hey, from the time I started working, 10 years, 10 good solid years, when you look back, there's nothing you can point at. There's nothing you can point at. Mm. So the blessings of God usually are with us when we acknowledge to say we are simply tools in the hand of God. And don't resist when the Spirit of God is telling you to move in this direction. Let us not be like Jonah. Mm. Who said, God, I know you. You can't kill people. You are just too good. Your grace just it's just in abundance.
Yeah.
And when he did the assignment, he said, you see, God, I told you. You are slow to anger. You can't kill people.
True.
You know, so that was the position. So I think for me, we are simply tools in God's hand.
Mm.
And when God tells us to move in this direction, I think kindness is the most valuable tool for witnessing.
Yeah, very true, very true. Now, I want us to look at what role, a prayer plays in cultivating and expressing a kindness when going through difficult circumstances. Sometimes you're going through those very challenging and difficult circumstances. I don't know if a prayer has a role. You mentioned the example when you were mourning. We looked at the example of the Ruth, etc. But where does prayer fit in? Does it fit in at all?
Yes, of course. I like to put it from the perspective of Ellen White. In the book Steps to Christ, under the chapter, she says the privilege of prayer. She says that when we pray, God does not come down from heaven to be with us. But that when we pray, prayer lifts us up into the very presence of God.
Yeah.
So prayer accords us, prayer is like our oxygen.
Mm.
You know, it's like if you keep a prayer in your heart, God will direct your mind, God will direct your feet, God will direct, everything that you do.
Mm.
So there is no way we can be able to separate prayer. As I think it's an integral part, because you see, sometimes acts of kindness could happen randomly.
Mm.
It's sometimes it is not something you can plan on.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Prayer, some people may limit it to think that it can only be at a time when you are kneeling or when you are in a confined room. You could be in a shopping mall. You could be anywhere. You could be anywhere. And when the situation happens, sometimes you may think you are talking to yourself. You are not. You are actually praying, because prayer, it is under communications, they classify it as intrapersonal communication. So sometimes you may be thinking, you are talking to yourself to say, should I help this person? Or should I just forget him? Then you hear the small voice, and the small voice says, you do the right thing. Do the right thing. You could have a struggle. And so this is where prayer comes in. Because ultimately, in our natural propensity, we are inclined to do wrong things. We are inclined to do bad. Actually, even a simple act of kindness, it is only through the influence of the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
And what is a better way of having an enabling environment to save through prayer?
Can we pray for kindness?
Exactly. It's a fruit of the Spirit. So meaning, fruit, let me give you a practical example.
Yes,
when you plant a mango seed, for it to give you a fruit, it will take time.
Mm.
So it has to be cultivated. It must be nurtured. You grow, you know. You and these gifts, they don't happen overnight. You know, they come with experience. God will give you situations you can handle, and then you slowly graduate to bigger things you could not have imagined you could do. So it's a spirit, it's an act, it's a way of life that can be nurtured, that can mature, that can keep growing, and it should never stop growing.
Yeah. Now, let's draw to the end of our conversation this morning. And I want us to look at, Romans 12, 14 to 21. You know, in light of that verse, how can Christians respond with kindness to those who may be causing challenges or adversity in our lives? So here are people actively causing chaos and havoc, in your life, deliberately causing extreme situations in your life. You know them. How then do we respond with kindness? I know you talked about turning the other cheek, but truly, people continuously make sure that your life is upside down, and they continue to do that, and they continue to do that. And I don't know, should you continue to be kind? Please talk to us about that scripture.
Yes, sir. Somebody said, I prayed for strength and God gave me a lot of problems that I should be able to solve them.
Yeah.
I prayed that I should not be short-tempered.
Mm.
And then God gave me situations where my temper would be tried.
Mm.
So remember, we indicated that the enemy is not the person persecuting you. We are in a warfare. The battle between good and evil continues to rage on. So your enemy is not the people who are doing whatever they are doing or whatever they are saying. You should always be spiritually alert. You should have the discernment to understand what is going on. And this, we actually, in my earlier statement, I made an acknowledgement that for the scriptures to provide, to say, when your enemy is hungry, it is a recognition that you are going to differ in opinion. You are going to differ in all these things. But when you differ like that, sometimes naturally some form of enmity is going to be
Hi, Pastor. Oh, I'm not sure what happened there. Pastor, are you?
Yes. I think there was a call that was coming.
Okay. All right.
So I am saying that when you have a misnomer, a misunderstanding with somebody, there is a temptation. There's a temptation that there is, revenge, these emotions, because we are wired with emotions. We are human beings. And you could have this feeling. But then the Bible is saying, yes, in this world, we will have enemies. And some enemies, we are going to be aware of them. And some of them, we will not be aware. But those that we are aware of, to say these, we are always in antagonism with these. The Bible is saying, when they are hungry, feed them. When they are thirsty, give them a drink. In so doing, you are heaping coals of fire in their heads, and they will be thinking, what kind of a man is this? Let me give you another practical example. Since we are looking at scriptural examples, here is Stephen. He is being stoned to death. As people are stoning him, if it was me, if I'm being stoned, maybe I was going to be crying, in my local language, because when you're in pain, you usually cry in your local language.
Yes. Yes.
You don't cry in English.
No, not at all.
Neither do you pray in English when pressure, when the metal reaches when the two metals are, there's no rubber in between.
Yeah.
You no longer pray or cry in English.
Yeah,
you go local.
I agree.
you go local. So when Stephen is being stoned, he could have been cursing these people. He could have behaved like John and James when Jesus and his cohort went to preach in Samaria, and nobody repented.
Mm.
The gentlemen were like, "Do these people in Samaria know that you are the Son of God? Do they understand that in our midst we have heaven?"
Yeah. Pastor?
Okay. Do these guys have this understanding that we have this situation? You know? So, Stephen could have said, "Lord, bring down fire now and consume all these, so that today they may know that I am not an ordinary person."
Mm.
But words that came out of the mouth of Stephen was like the words of Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Now, these were words that sank so deep in the heart and the mind of the Apostle Paul, and this marks the beginning of the conversion of Paul, because it was the kind words, instead of cursing, Stephen chose to bless the people who persecuted him.
Yeah.
So, you know, kindness and works of kindness, they will always be a valuable tool for leaving a very huge impact in the lives of many.
Mm. Well, let's close it off, Pastor. And I want to really close it off with, literally in the next 2 minutes or so, because one of the things I see is that, when people perpetually do wrong, of course, you've got to return them with kindness. And Romans 12 says revenge belongs to God. So you don't have to put any revenge because you're now being kind and you're a nice person and you don't want to be revenging. Can you at least say, "Lord, I need you to please pay revenge to these people because you said you're going to pay revenge. I'm trying to be kind here, but please do your part because I need you to teach them a lesson."
I have heard people, when you cross them, then they tell you, "God bless you." You have crossed them. You have crossed their path. And they just say, "God bless you." But deep down their hearts, that "God bless you," it is not "God bless you." You know, it is practically "God curse you." They or whoever has done this, maybe you have lost something and then you are moving around, ranting around. And then you say, "Whoever has done this, God bless you." Those definitely are not blessings. Those really are not blessings. You know, what God thinks and what human beings think are not the same. Even when you wanted to revenge, if God was to avenge on your behalf, imagine if God was going to revenge on your behalf. It would be done perfectly.
Yeah.
It would be done far better than you could have imagined or anticipated. So let us leave the things that belong to God to God.
Humanly speaking,
it is very difficult. And that is why not all our prayers are usually answered, because God looks at the bigger picture. Sometimes we are motivated by the reactions of emotions. And what we say now is not the same thing we can say a week later when our emotions have calmed down. Even the prayer we offered, we could not have offered it. In the heat of the passion, we can do anything, we can say anything. And that is why we are encouraged as Christians to be quick to listen and be slow to speak. Because angry words destroy relationships. Angry words, they are able to bring down families. Angry words, they can make societies and nations fight. And so we really need to guard our tongues. We need to be on the lookout of our emotions, especially in stressful periods, and understand that really our enemy is not the person, and let vengeance belong to him who says he will avenge on our behalf. At least we can trust that God will take care of the situation.
Beautiful. Well, Pastor, I must thank you so much for coming through and giving us this beautiful, beautiful lesson. Indeed, a teaching whose time has been very much awaited for. Thank you, and blessings to you, and blessings to your ministry as well as your family. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
Bye.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.